right, my next guest spent a lot of time traveling around the state as a state senator and then as a candidate for governor as a Republican back in 2017 and 18. Did not ring the bell, but got to know a lot of folks, made a lot of friends around the state, and still has those, including myself. Pat Kolbeck on the line. Pat, how are you?
Great to be with you. Is that the reason for the intro music?
Well, yeah, maybe. Here he comes, boys. I'm just kidding. How you been?
I've been doing very well. It's good to be outside of Lansing, to tell you the truth. Although when I look at some of the stuff that they're doing, it's the same old frustrations bubble up.
Well, yeah, you know, you left the state Senate. Any idea of going back to politics? We'll get to your op-ed here in a second. I'm just curious as what your future plans might hold.
Future plans is right now, instead of just general public service, I'm serving those who serve us in the military. So heading up operations at the Michigan Freedom Center and, you know, one of the last bastions of honor and integrity is those who serve us in the military. And really, it's truly a pleasure and honor to make their lives a little bit easier as they travel across the country.
There you go. All right. So you've spoken out recently, and I follow you on Twitter, and I see your comments on social media and so forth, Pat. And you're not impressed with the idea put forth as far as fix the damn roads, if you will. And in fact, you say the taxes, not a good idea, but it taxes wallets, patience, and memory is the opinion piece. Tell me about it.
Yeah, well, Gretchen, you know, she wants to fix the dang road. She's got all the resources she needs to fix it right now. I've talked before, and the key to fixing our roads is building higher quality roads. But if you're fixated on the idea that you need more money for roads, I want to remind everybody what happened back in 2015. Remember Proposal 1? 81% of the voters rejected that, right? And then what did they do afterward? They came back with a $600 million tax increase. And here's what really, I think, should upset a lot of voters, a lot of constituents across the state, is that right after they passed that $600 million tax increase, ostensibly to fix the roads, something that happened very quietly behind the scenes, was they passed a supplemental appropriations bill where they reappropriated $400 million from the general fund, or general fund dollars from the transportation fund, i.e. for the roads, and they repurposed it for Medicaid expansion. See, this is what really, and it's why you talk about it was a bumpy ride when I was out in the Senate, because this is the type of stuff that frustrated me. They said they pick a hot-button issue, like the roads. Everybody wants to get the roads fixed. And then what they do is they go off and use the money that they generate from tax increase to fix that hot-button issue, and they use it as walking around money to fix other priorities. And that's frustrating. I hate the bait and switch. I hate the voters being taken advantage of. And that's what I'm afraid that they're teed up to do right now, whether it's a 45-cent tax increase proposed by Gretchen or whether or not it's a 20-cent tax increase proposed by Senator Shirky. This isn't it. This year.
Clearly, you know, and I go back to 2015 as well, Pat, and think about, you know, it wasn't just rejected. It was torched. 81%. I don't know if I've ever seen anything that got rejected like that.
Rejection at the hoop.
Oh, my gosh. You know, talk about, eat it. And then that didn't apparently resonate because there was, as you said, a tax increase after. Now, as you look at the roads, though, and I keep hearing people say, well, it's not fully ramped up, the money set aside by Governor Snyder during his administration. All that money's not there yet.
Yeah.
So is that true? I mean, is there more money to come, and how do we get there? Because I hear other people tell me, and it's confusing. There's a lot of noise out there, as you know, always is, well, we can't get there unless we have more money. You know,
well, there's a five-year planning cycle for all the roads, so it's not just add water, although they've got a prioritized queue that they want to go off and fill. But bottom line is, if we don't start building these to higher quality standards and actually holding folks accountable for those standards, we're going to be back in the same mess here not too long from now. The key to all this is higher quality roads, and they refuse to look at it. When MDOT was asked to go off and put together a 50-year road design life, all they did was double the bed depth of our roads, and that just doubled the material cost. It didn't look at any innovations, material innovations that are out there, like cement hydration catalysts, or essentially plasticized cement. there's a lot of options out there that were not looked at, and it's time to get innovative, and we can do this.
All right, so I saw an article. I don't know if you saw this in the last couple of days. I saw an article online that they're building roads in India by using recycled single-use plastic bags and plastic bottles and everything else, and building these roads that apparently have proven to be exceptionally durable, right, using a polyurethane of some sort and recycling. What a good idea. You know, again, it's something different, and I'm sure the asphalt manufacturers are just cringed when I said that. But, you know, if you want to look at different ideas to make roads that last longer, maybe that's a good idea, maybe it's not, but it's worth exploring, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, because I was the only one that was outspoken about quality of roads and was welcoming to innovative road ideas, I had tons of people come to me from across the state and provide good ideas for longer-lasting roads. But the first thing I always ask them is, show me a total life cycle cost estimate on it. So show me the upfront construction cost. Show me the repair frequency. How many times do you have to refurbish this over the time? What are the maintenance costs associated with it? Show me the total life cycle cost. And so even plastic bags, you know, you got to go off and work the numbers on the cost. And if it works out to be cost effective in the long run, let's do it. And I've actually done a lot of investigations around prefab concrete slabs or concrete slabs because one of the biggest problems we have with road quality is that, you know, in fairness to the contractors, the weather seems to change a little bit every once in a while.
I've noticed that.
During times and moisture and temperature, all that stuff affects the overall quality of the cement. So,
well let me ask you this.
If you build it in a factory environment, you can control those variables.
Potentially, right. The other thing that I see out there, though, is I see roads, they bring these machines through that turn old hard surfaces, they pulverize them into it's not exactly a gravel road, but it's a pulverized gravel-like surface in some ways that are cheaper to maintain. Are they as nice to drive on? No, not exactly, but they're cheaper. They don't break. They don't break down. And most of these cars are SUVs and built to take it. I mean, is there a way that we just say, hey, listen, we got to, you know, we can't pave every road in Michigan. I mean, honestly, financially speaking, is there a scenario where, you know what, we can't pave every single road, and here's why? I'll give you the last word.
It all comes down to the numbers, and when I was in the Senate, I had a pretty detailed spreadsheet just calculating degradation rates for all of our roads versus improvement rates and where's the break even and all that kind of stuff, and you just got to go off and crank the numbers. And first there has to be a will to take that approach. And I have not seen that in the 8 years that I was up in the Senate. And that's frustrating for me because every time that the folks up in Lansing decide that the only answer is to go off and raise taxes, all they do is push the responsibility of prioritizing spending back to the people of Michigan. And I'm tired of it.
Well, there you go. And some things don't change in Lansing, like you mentioned. Pat Kolbeck. Senator, I always appreciate you being here. Look forward to talking to you maybe a little bit more because this conversation isn't going anywhere either as they argue about the budget and haven't found a solution yet. But good having you here. Thank you, sir.
Hey, great to be with you. And one thing to keep in mind is that Democrats and Republicans don't agree on much, but lately the leadership's been agreeing on tax increases. So everybody's going to be focused on shutdown. We need to make sure that they don't do a shakedown to avoid it.
There you go. Patrick Kolbeck, everybody. It's the Steve Gerber Show back after this.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, celebrating 60 years of being the leading voice for business.
I'm Rich Dudley, President and CEO of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. For 60 years, the Chamber has been your voice in Lansing, fighting for pro-business, pro-taxpayer, pro-jobs legislation. It's been our commitment to work with lawmakers on both sides of the aisle in Lansing to create an environment that allows businesses to grow and to create a strong and thriving economy. We are member-driven and policy-focused. The Michigan Chamber represents over 6,000 companies of all sizes and types in all 83 of Michigan's counties. Michigan Chamber members employ over 1 million Michigan residents. That's why we're focused on the mission of promoting conditions favorable to job creation, economic growth, and free enterprise.
Join the Michigan Chamber of Commerce today at michamber.com. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce. The leading voice for business, moving Michigan forward.
You never want to make that call to the insurance company. I know I don't, but when you have to, you have to. I'm Steve Gruber, and that's why I trust Maurer Foster Insurance. Just recently, I had to make that call. My truck got banged up, and it needed some work. called Maurer Foster for answers. What a relief to deal with a team of professionals that knew exactly what I needed. It took one phone call, my repairs were in motion, and now I'm back on the road. So when anyone asks me, who do I trust for insurance? That's easy. Maurer Foster Insurance in Lansing.
Being a mother-to-be is both exciting and overwhelming. From shopping for the best stroller to deciding which birthing center to use, there's lots of choices to make. Fortunately, the Economic Alliance for Michigan Maternity Care Project can help. It's an online resource for a mom-to-be in Michigan to educate herself on her options. Visit eamonline.org. That's eamonline.org. Then click Maternity Care Project, a public service announcement from the Economic Alliance for Michigan.